Scripture reading today is from Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1 through 13. For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, and a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what was planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. What gain has the worker from his toil? I have seen the busyness that God has given to the children of men to be busy with. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Also, he has put eternity into a man's heart. Yet so that he cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I perceive that there is nothing better for them to be joyful and to do good as long as they live. Also that everyone should eat, drink, and take pleasure in all his toil. This is God's gift to man.
Thank you, Fabian. Good morning, everyone. Good seeing all of you here this morning. We want you to know if you are visiting with us that you are a special guest and that we're thankful that you are here with us to share these moments of worshiping and song and praise together. And also as we gathered around the Lord's table this morning, it's been just a wonderful experience to be together with one another. Time is certainly filled with swift transition. And of course, as we think about, you know, this year has really went by in a blaze. 2019 has went by fast. It just seems like just yesterday, I was sharing an end-of-the-year sermon and getting ready for a beginning-of-a-year sermon, and here we are all the way fast-forwarding to 2019. It's coming to an end. And with the coming of the end of the year comes the end of our series, our theme that we have been using this year, and that is building a bridge to God. And, of course, as we talked about this theme, I've used three different series within the theme. The first one was building a bridge to God, and as we talked about building a bridge to God, I shared with you five various kinds of bridges that God has created or has instituted that allows us to come into his presence in terms of our worshiping God together with one another. And then we talked about building bridges to our community, and in that series I spoke to you about the idea that we are to be ambassadors of Christ, that we are Christ's representatives here on earth, that we are to show a care and a kindness to those who are around us, and that we are to enter into the harvest, that the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few, and that we need to be involved in getting into the harvest. And then over the last couple of months, I've shared with you a third part of the theme, and that is the series on building stronger relationships with one another. And then I talked about building strong relationships with us as a congregation, as we grow closer together with one another. But also we talked about building strong relationships with the physical family itself, between mom and dad and the kids and husband and wife. We talked about all those kinds of things. Well, why a theme on building bridges? Well, I chose that theme simply because of the fact that I believe that there's nothing more important, at least in my mind, than building, bridges that are closer together with God. And bridges that are closer together with one another, because life is about relationships. And if life is about relationships, then we want our relationships to be healthy. We want them to be happy. We want them to be enduring. And so we've been talking about building bridges to one another. And so this morning is going to be the last bridge for a while anyway. And then we're going to be talking about building a bridge to the future. One of the passages that we looked at that was just earlier read to you, if you'll open your Bibles back to that section of Scripture, was found in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1. In that section of Scripture, he says, there is an appointed time for everything. There's a time for every event or activity under heaven. And then he says that, you know, that he has made everything beautiful in its time. Well, what is it that Solomon is trying to say to us? Well, he's saying to us that life is filled up with lots of time. And it's filled up with a cycle of things, and that there are lots of activities that go on in our lives. But that God has a plan for all of us, and that he has made everything beautiful in its time. Even in times when we think that it's terrible or it's horrible, there will be a part of that time in which it will become beautiful to us as we find ourselves enduring in it. The question for us this morning would be this: are we living within God's will? Are we living within God's plan for us? That's really what the lesson centers around this morning as we talk about our mission, as we talk about vision and things of that nature. A young boy was speaking to his dad, and he decided to share with him a riddle, and he said to his dad, he says, "Dad, if three frogs were sitting on a branch over a pool, and one of the frogs decided to jump off, how many frogs would be left on the limb?" And the dad said, "Well, if one frog jumped off, then there would be two." And the little boy says, "No, Dad. If three frogs were on a branch and one of them decided to jump off, how many frogs would be on the branch?" And the dad says, "Okay, I get it. If one of the frogs jumped, then the two would follow. There'd be no frogs left on the branch." And the little boy said, "No, there would be three. The one frog only decided to jump." You see, there's a lot in life when you talk about things like decisions. There are a lot of people. There are a lot of congregations who make all kinds of decisions, but they never jump. In 2019, we did a lot of things as a congregation. If we were to count up all the things that we did, there are well over 20 or 30 things that we did as a congregation in terms of building relationships with one another, building our relationships with God, building relationships with our community as we made bridges or built bridges out away from us and to one another. A lot of decisions were made, but there's going to be a lot of decisions that are going to be made for 2020. And so as we look into 2020, let's make 2020 a leap year. One of the years that, you know, we don't set back, that we don't wait for things to happen, but that we're going to be moving forward as a congregation in positive kinds of ways. And so we're going to be talking about building a bridge to the future. And I want us to think about the future. I want us to think about vision. And so the passage of Scripture that I want us to use as a text for inspiration is found over in Proverbs, the 29th chapter and verse 18. It's a pretty simple passage of Scripture, but there is some profoundness in it. And that section of Scripture says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but happy is he who keeps the law." When you look at that passage of Scripture, you know, like I said, it's a simple looking passage of Scripture. And yet it says some important things to us, such as this: building a bridge to the future requires a vision. Listen to what that passage says again. "Where there is no vision, the people perish." So there's an importance when it comes down to vision. There is a drive that is behind all vision that we look forward to into 2020. So what is the definition of a vision? Well, if you look at it in a secular kind of way, there are guys out there who lay out all kinds of vision statements or definitions of vision. One person said, "It's a perfect picture of the future that you want to create." I think it was Bill Hybels who said this: "Vision is the picture of the future that produces passion. You see it out there. You have this mental picture of it. You have this aspiration in your mind, and it just causes a passion to well up within you that you want to make sure that vision is achieved." Another one is the art of seeing the invisible. Some people just have that knack, that ability to see the invisible, but that's not what I'm talking about this morning. I'm not talking about the secular definition of a vision. I'm talking about God's vision for us. "Where there is no vision, the people perish," Solomon said in Proverbs. And so as you think about that, I want you to think about this word vision here for a few moments. The vision that he's talking about here is an interesting kind of vision. It comes from the Hebrew word hazan. The sea is silent there. And as you talk about that kind of vision, it is a vision that is being given over to someone. In fact, the word itself has three meanings. The first one means an open revelation. The idea is that a prophet receives or is revealed a revelation from God. In fact, as you go down through various prophets, you'll look at Ezekiel or Jeremiah or Isaiah or Habakkuk or any of the minor prophets, and they'll say, "Then the word of the Lord came to me." In other words, what was going on there is God is revealing to them something. He is giving something to them in terms of His Word. And so the vision originates with God. It's based on His Word, and it's not coming out of the fertile fields of a man's mind or a prophet's mind. So the idea is this. The people perish where there is no open revelation that is coming from God. God giving them a vision. God revealing to him what his will for their lives should be, or their lives should be as a nation. Or if we were to put it in terms of today, we'd talk about the word revealing the vision or the future for us as a congregation. It's been laid out for us in order for us to see. And so aren't you glad that you know that you have an open revelation that lies in your laps? If you're holding your Bible this morning and it's opened up, whether it's opened up to the book of Revelation or the 65 previous books to that, they're all an open revelation of God's will, of God's plan, of God's intention for your life and for my life. The Word of God is that, and it reveals the future for us and what God wants for us. The second meaning of the word hazan is to dream. But the dream is not like the one that maybe you had last night. The dream here has more to do with an aspiration. It's kind of like, you know, you have this dream home in your mind if money were not an object. Or if we were to think about us as a congregation, we have a dream building one day in our minds if money was not the object. Or it could be, you know, you have an aspiration for this beautiful girl that you would like to pick up. That doesn't sound right. Pick out, you know, that you'd like to pick out if it were not for the fact that maybe you don't look so hot yourself. And so it has to do that with that kind of thing. And so the people, they find, you know, they find when something is bigger than themselves, that is a dream or an aspiration that you want to move toward as an individual. The third meaning is a mental picture. The mental picture is the ability to see with the mind's eye what God's vision for you and the church ought to be. Not where you are now, but where you want to be or ought to be as a congregation. God has a desire for you as an individual Christian. He also has a desire for this congregation. He knows where he wants us to go, but we have to be willing to buy into the vision and to buy into the things that he placed before so that we might be able to move together in positive ways. So if you were to take all three of those meanings and you were to merge them together, the idea is that you need a revelation from God found within his word that allows you to dream or to aspire to go beyond where you are so you can have a vision and see it clearly, the reality of what God wants us to be as people. And all of this comes through the word of God, which means it doesn't come from your preacher or your ministers. It doesn't come from your elders. Anything that we might come up with that would help drive us forward as a congregation is something that is going to be revealed in the Word of God. We're going to be able to see it in the Word of God and then make that application in our lives. The second part of that verse says, where there is no vision, where there is no open revelation, the people perish. I think some of your Bibles might say, live unrestrained lives. That word, too, has a number of meanings to it. But one of the meanings that it does not have, to perish, means it doesn't mean to die. Or it doesn't mean to perish in terms of judgment or hell or anything like that. This word here is a word that means to go backwards. And the idea is that, listen, if you're not going forward, you're going to be going backwards. If God has not revealed to you in open revelation what he desires of us, what his will or plan for us is, the result is that we're going to be directionless. We're not going to know which way to go. In fact, we won't go forward. We will each actually go backwards. And so this word is the idea of not moving forward in a positive kind of direction within God's will. Which means what? Well, what it means is that we must have goals. We must have dreams. We must have a vision for what we want to be or what God wants us to be in this life. In fact, I would say this, show me a church that is not that is going backwards, and I'll show you a church that has no vision. They don't know where they're going. They're just showing up on a Sunday morning and going through the motions, but they don't have a vision for how they're going to build their bridge to God, or how they're going to build a bridge to their community, or how they're going to build a bridge to one another. Those are not things, you know, I use the bridge analogy simply to show us that God is trying to speak to us in a way that is an analogy that maybe we can grasp in our minds, but we have to be moving forward. Why is that? Because all dreams begin or start between our ears. As we read the Word of God, it enters into our minds. It moves from our minds to our hearts and from our hearts into action. That's the way dreams go. In fact, as a man thinks in his heart, the Bible says, so is he. And so how we feel about who we are as individuals as we end 2019 and move towards 2020, the way we see ourselves as a congregation in 2019 moving into 2020 has a lot to do with our thought processes and how we think about ourselves. Then there's a second part. Not only is there the importance of vision, there is the drive of vision. By drive of vision, vision is the vehicle that will take you places. It's the key that opens the doors of opportunity. It's where all great bridges begin to be built. In other words, the Golden Gate Bridge, it had Joseph Strauss. The Brooklyn Bridge, it had John Roebling. When you talk about the cross that's going to save the entire world, you're talking about the vision of God that he had clear back in eternity. Before anything started, there was that plan, there was that vision of his as how he was going to win mankind back to himself. It was Thomas Edison who said this, "Show me a man who is perfectly satisfied and I'll show you a failure." Men who succeed, women who succeed, congregations who succeed are people who have vision of what they want to become. Let me share with you several examples of people who did not have vision and then show the contrast to them. For instance, Charles Holland Dewitt, he said these words. He's the commissioner of the U.S. Patent Offices in 1899, said this, "Everything that can be invented has already been invented." Think about that now as you got in your car this morning and you drove to the church building. Or some of you who have traveled over the holiday, you got into airplanes and you flew here. Some of you who are looking for a church, you typed up on your computers and got to the internet to find out where the church was and so forth. You see what I'm saying? This guy said everything that could be invented has been invented, and he certainly was far behind the lines on that in terms of vision. Or how about Grover Cleveland? President Grover Cleveland in 1905 said, "Sensible and responsible women do not want to vote." Well, tell that to Susan B. Anthony. She was one of the leaders in the suffrage movement and so forth. Try using that today. I mean, if you were to say something like that today, you'd be in all kinds of trouble. I was reading about a guy who said that to something like that to his wife. And she said to him, she goes, "Well, how would you not like to see me for a few days?" He goes, "Well, that'd be just fine." Well, the first day went by, he said, "I didn't see her." As he later recalls, he goes, "Second day went by, I didn't see her. The third day I didn't see her. On the fourth day, I saw her a little bit as my left eye began to become unswelled." Sensible and responsible. Well, that's just behind the times. Women have gone way beyond that. You know, I think there was a cigarette commercial that said, "You've come a long way, baby," back when they used to have cigarette commercials on TV and so forth. Or how about this one here? This is by Robert Andrew Millikan. He was a Nobel Peace Prize winner. He was a physicist by trade, and he said, "There is no likelihood that man can ever tap the power of an atom." Well, tell that to Lise Meitner or Ernest Rutherford, who were part of the Manhattan Project. And in 1938, you know, the atomic world came into play. You know, the nuclear age came into play. It became a reality. Or how about this guy, Lord Kelvin? He was a mathematician as well as a physicist. He says, heavier than air flying machines are impossible. He said that in 1855. Tell that to, of course, the Wright brothers in 1903 at Kitty Hawk. Okay, so that tells you that, you know, people can, you know, there are people who don't have a lot of vision. Then there are those who have a lot of vision. So why am I telling you all this? Well, I'm telling you all this because I believe that we as a church and that we as Christians, whether we're talking about teenagers or whether we're talking about young families or whether we're talking about middle-aged or even the elderly, that I'm saying that we all have to have a vision of what we want to be in 2020. Vision is the driving force that will take us to where we need to be. Not where my life is, but where God wants my life to be. That would be true whether you're talking about your family or your marriage, or whether you're talking about your church or congregation, our church, our congregation, or whether we're talking about the ministry that you are involved with, that you are serving in, or even a business. It has to do with that kind of thing. Secondly, a bridge to the future requires or shares two things in common. One is a common mission, and the second is a common vision. So when you think about this passage of Scripture that we've been using, where there is no vision, the people perish, there is a common mission that is given to each Christian and to the church. It's a mission that does not come out of our minds, but it comes out of what the Word of God says. And that mission really is simple. The grand purpose, the grand mission of the church is to glorify God. You say, well, okay, well, how do you know that? Well, whatever Jesus did is what I want to do. Whatever Jesus' mission is, that should be my mission. Whatever Jesus' vision is, that should be my vision, okay? So listen to what Jesus said over in Matthew, in John, the 17th chapter. This is the high priestly prayer of Jesus. And as he prays on his behalf to the Father, he says these things. Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee. Even as thou hast given him authority over all mankind, and that all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, Jesus Christ, on whom that you have sent. I glorify thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given to me. And now glorify thou me together with thyself, Father, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So what was Jesus, his mission, when he looked at his life? His life, in every sense of the word, was to glorify God, to elevate God in everything that he did in life, whether it was teaching people, whether it was reaching out to people, whether it was healing people, whatever Jesus did in his life, he said, I did so to glorify you. Now glorify me with the glory that I had with you before the world was. He's looking at the cross, you see. But he knew what his mission was. And his mission was to glorify God, and he would do so as he went to the cross and died on the cross for the sins of the world. And that mission then gives us a mission. And our common mission that we have with Jesus is we too glorify God in our lives. And so the disciple of Christ, your mission is to know, to love, to serve God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. But it's something else. It's the mission of the church is to take that same mission and communicate it to the world as well, that they would love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their soul, and with all their might as well. There is that mission. Okay, so then what is the mission, if we were to put it together, what is the mission of the Linder Road Church of Christ? Well, a number of years ago, we as a congregation and as a group worked for quite a while on a mission statement, and the mission statement is simply this. Linder Road is a Christ-focused family, glorifying God, growing together, reaching up, and reaching out. And it's something that originates or is based on God's Word. And so we have that has been given to us. And as you look through that mission statement, you can see all the functions, if you will. You can see all the goals that are placed before us as we strive to glorify God in our lives. And that's why we have a common vision. The common mission is to glorify God. The common vision is one that comes from the Word of God, but it becomes more specific and more personalized in the way that God would have the local body fulfill the church's mission of glorifying God. All businesses understand this, in fact. If you were to just look at the business world, they understand the value of having a mission and having a mission statement. And those companies that fall to the wayside, the big box companies that fall away, they all have one thing in common. They can say, well, the reason why we're going down is because of, you know, there is a recession that is happening. Or there is legislation that has been made that has put us in a bad place. Or the interest rates or foreign competition has challenged us. But the reality of it is that almost all of them fell because of one thing, and that is probably a lack of vision. The leadership did not see the products in the future or the needs that were in the future. And that's why great big companies like Montgomery Ward's and Sears and Kmart and Shopko. And just yesterday, I was looking at the 10 companies that they said are going to go away probably in 2020. It was like Bed Bath & Body. You know, different places, like it says they're going to go away. Well, why is that? Because guess where people are buying their products? They're getting on the internet. They're going online. And Amazon is knocking them out of the box. Walgreens is going to struggle. Rite Aid's got the position of struggling unless they have a vision of how they're going to reach out to their community. You know, how they're going to sell their products to those who are around. This guy behind me is named Fred Smith. Some of you might know who he is. He's a guy who envisioned a nationwide, overnight, small package delivery system. Back in that day, almost all small packages were delivered by first class, by the United States Postal Service, and so forth. But this guy saw well beyond that. And it's called Federal Express, or FedEx today. He envisioned, it's the product of his vision of how to, you know, deliver things. And a lot of other companies had got on board with that, UPS and Amazon and Prime and all those things. They've kind of got onto that thing there. But this guy, you know, Fred Smith, he was the one that got the thing rolling in a big way and is a leader in that area today. Well, listen, if vision is important in things like that in the secular world, isn't vision important for us as a body of believers? Building a bridge to the future, it must share a common vision. And so our common vision, of course, is to glorify God. Then there is the goals that go into that, the functions that go into that. Because people without vision, without a revelation from the Word of God, are like voyagers on a boundless sea without a star, a pilot, or a compass to guide them. They don't know where they're going or even how to get there. But once we start responding to God's will, once we find it into God's Word, then we start going into action and finding ways to do the things that God would have us to do. Again, look at that mission statement. Linda Road is a Christ-focused family, glorifying God, growing together, reaching up, and reaching out. And it's all biblically-based stuff that is there. This morning, very briefly, I want to share with you out of Acts, the second chapter, verses 41 through 47, and see if you can't see that mission statement there. Look at what it says. Turn over to Acts chapter 2. Notice verses 41 through 47. Listen to what it says here. This is after 3,000 people have been baptized into Christ in verse 41. Now notice what he says as we continue on down. And they were continually, verse 42, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles, and all those who had believed were together and had all things in common. They began selling their property and possessions, and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. And day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. In that short section of Scripture, as well as many other places, you find not only the mission, but you find what the goals or the functions of the church really are about. And the first one is that of worship. As we go down through these, see if you can't see how they fit into the vision statement for Linder Road here. But the first one is worship. Notice it says that they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And then it says, and they were going to the temple daily. So what was the temple's purpose? Well, the purpose of the temple was not just to hang out there. The purpose of the temple was that of worship. Did you know that there is not a single passage in Scripture that places worship necessarily within the assembly itself? And that's the word worship, whether you're talking about the five worship words, proskuneo, the truo, or eusebomai, or threskia, or any of those words, they're in life itself. So when you look at Romans, the 12th chapter and verse 1, there says that we are to offer up our bodies as a living and holy sacrifice to God, which is our reasonable service of worship. So it's talking about living our lives in worship of God. Of course, John, the 8th chapter and verse 24, there it says, you know, those who worship God must worship him in spirit and in truth. And Jesus says, listen, it's not going to be in that place or in this place, but it's where you are is where you worship. That doesn't mean the assembly that we're involved with this morning is not worship. In fact, the writer of Hebrews says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, even more as we see the day drawing nigh. So we are to stimulate and encourage one another as we assemble together to worship. So what is worship? Well, worship is reaching up. And it fits within our mission statement. We glorify God by reaching up to him in worship. Number two is evangelism. That's the function of the church. Notice that it says that the people there, they're having favor. In verse 47, they're having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. And so they were creating an atmosphere that drew people to themselves. They were building bridges to their community, and people were coming to them, and the Lord was adding to their number beyond the 3,000 on the day of Pentecost. So what were they doing? Well, they were reaching out. And isn't that what we're supposed to be doing as a church as well? That we are a church that glorifies God by reaching out to those who are lost. We have the mission mandate that Jesus left for us in Mark the 16th chapter and verse 15. Go and preach the gospel to all creation. Or Matthew 28 and verse 19. Go and make disciples of all nations. And so we have the responsibility as a goal to glorify God by reaching out to those who are around us. One of the ways that we're going to do it this year, among a number of ways, is one of them is that our lectureship this year, notice the date, okay, October the 15th through the 18th, so it's one day later than it has been in times past, but we're going to do a series of lessons, 23 lessons on the evidences of God. We're bringing in 10 speakers that are super high powered when it comes to the theological argument or the ontological argument or the astrophysics, or you name it. I mean, we're bringing in some guys that are super educated and well thought through individuals that are going to be sharing this. And I'm sharing this with you because we're not just going to have this. It's not going to be just a lectureship. We're going to promote it in our community. We're going to put this up on billboards. We're going to put it on theater ads. We're going to have them on bumper stickers. We're going to send out 60,000 mailers. We're going to do everything we can to make this a multimedia kind of push where we involve Facebook and Twitter and all those things to get the message out into our community and invite them to come as a means of reaching out to our community. Number three, discipleship and instruction. They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. Don't get thrown off by that word doctrine. It just means teaching. They were steadfast in the apostles' teaching. They were coming together and thinking about those things. But we educate people towards maturity as we grow together with one another. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, verses 11 and 12 say, he gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the purpose of equipping the saints for a work of service to the maturing of the body of Christ. And so one of the things that we as a church do is that we disciple each other. We instruct, we educate toward maturity. That's part of the mission statement, growing together. A fourth is ministry and service. Look at what it says in verses 45 and verse 46. It said, they went out and they were selling property and possessions and were giving them as anyone might have need. They were serving one another. Galatians says that we are to serve one another out of love for one another. So we're growing together. We're reaching out through serving one another that meets our mission statement. And then finally, we have fellowship. They were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, in fellowship, in the breaking of bread and prayer. If you drop down to verse 46, it says that they were going not only to the temple, but they were breaking their bread together from house to house. They were sharing their lives with one another. They were growing together. They're reaching out to one another. It fits our mission statement very, very well. Okay, so, you know, all this has to do with building a bridge to the future by sharing a common pursuit. And so what is our common pursuit? Well, look at the latter part of that verse. Where there is no vision, the people perish, but happy is he who keeps the law. That is that everything that we do as people as we go into 2020 is going to have to do with how we are living according to what God has to say to us from his word. Pursuing God's word in whatever we do will bring happiness to us. The question is this, is what is your heart's pursuit? What is your heart's pursuit? Where do you see yourself in 2020 as a Christian and as a congregation of the Lord's people? How we respond to God's revelation throughout life is often the difference between success and mediocrity. It's all about how we view the opportunities that God has placed before us. Whether you're talking about worship, or whether we were talking about evangelism, or whether we're talking about educating, or serving, or fellowshipping with one another, how we view that will determine whether we succeed at it or whether we just kind of go through it in a mediocre kind of way. Maybe you've heard the story that's an old story about the two shoe salesmen that were sent to a primitive island in order to see, you know, what was the potential there for the business and so forth. So the two salesmen got there. The first salesman, he was there for just a short time, and he immediately wires back to the company and says, coming home immediately. There are no need for shoes here. Everyone goes shoeless. No shoes. The second guy wrote back, said, great potential here. Send a boatload of shoes. No one wears shoes here. It's all how you look at things, isn't it? So as we look into 2020, it really is going to be how we look at things. True vision is an awareness of Christ in his fullness and in his power. Where the people where there is no vision, the people perish. I'm here to say to you this morning that, listen, there is a revelation. God has revealed his will for us as a congregation. It's up to us to figure out how we're going to go about it and how we're going to achieve those goals as a body of believers. The possibility for growing spiritually and numerically is unlimited. It has to do with our mindset, what's going on between our ears. As a man thinks within his heart, as a woman thinks within her heart, so is he or she, right? So where are you this morning? If we were to talk about these things, you know, beyond this vision, but just talking about the vision for your future, spiritually speaking, Where are you heading this morning? If Jesus were to come right now, would you know for sure, nothing doubting, that you'd go to heaven? If you don't have that vision firmly planted in your mind and know where you're going to go, then I'd like to talk to you after services. Or I can share, send you to someone that you can talk to, okay? But let's talk about that. And if you're a Christian, you know, and you have some doubts, then let's talk about that as well. I don't know what your needs are. You do. Whatever they are, why don't you come forward while together we stand and sing at this time.
As I travel through this pilgrim land, there